Awesome, man. It's been, I feel like I haven't seen you guys in a long time. So it's great to be back. We were on vacation for 2 weeks. The way to come back, I get to preach. So that's awesome. So welcome to Center Point. I'm glad you're all here today. This is the next series of messages in James. This will be Taming Your Tongue. You will wish you didn't come today by the time I'm done. I'm just going to be honest. This is going to be hold on to your seats kind of a sermon. So again, I had to reflect a lot on this sermon. It seems like every time I get to preach, it's about something that I'm having a horrible time with, you know, like having to behave as a Christian. Who wants to preach about that? I'm the worst person who behaves. I can't teach you how to behave as a Christian, right? Taming your tongue. Ask my wife how many times I got in trouble this week for my mouth. She'll tell you, right? But again, this is God's word. This is James all about this stuff. So let's just take a minute and pray, and then we'll get started. Father God, thank you so much for this day that you have given us, Lord. I thank you so much for those who are here. Lord, again, I just surrender myself to you and ask you to remove anything that is of me, to fill me just with your Holy Spirit. You use me to speak through, Lord, and give these people an attentive ear and to listen, Lord, and to want to do what you are asking us to do. Lord, so we just give you glory, honor, and praise this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many of you ever got your mouth got you in trouble like me? Anybody say something like this? You know, you find yourself in a situation and you say, hey, how far along are you? Or when's your baby due? Only to find out that they're not pregnant. Okay, anybody? Okay, I'm stellar at that right now. So, or this one, if you're married or if you've ever taken your girlfriend shopping and they come out and they wear that dress and they're saying, you know, does this make me look fat? And then you blurt out, you know, it wasn't fat when it was hanging on the hanger. Unfortunately, you make that dress look fat. Anybody? I'm the only one there. Good. Don't do that. Don't go there. That's not a good place to be. So what we want is we want a pause button when we say stuff. You know, once the words come out, you can't put them back in. So what we would like is a pause button. Pause, rewind. So we'll pause, rewind button so we can go back and take those things back. But you know what? Once they're out. What we like is a delete button. When it comes out, delete. I don't want that to be said. And you know what? We don't get the delete either. So as I'm going through this sermon's notes, unfortunately, it's about taming our tongue. And I'm the worst at taming my tongue. And so I got fired from two jobs in my life. I'm 54-ish, 53-ish, whatever I am. I don't even know. And two times I got fired. You know why I got fired? Say it. Because of my mouth. Because of my tongue. Right, so the first time I was in Arizona, I was going to school for electronics. And I went to a temporary agency and I got this job. And my whole job, they wanted me to be a driver because I was a truck driver before. And so they had to do this training thing. So my job was to go into the warehouse, pull all the product, load it onto the truck in order of our delivery, so that when the driver comes in, all we had to do was take off. That's my job. Seriously, your mouth? How does your mouth get you in trouble with that? Unfortunately, the lady who was in charge of the warehouse, let's see, how can I put this? She wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. When she paddled her boat, it was only with one oar. The light was on, ain't nobody home. Okay, so she was dumb. I'm sorry. And I put up with this for a certain period of time. I honestly don't know exactly how long I put up. I want to believe I put up with this for a long time. The truth is I probably did it very much, right, for very long. The driver gets in, and one day we were doing the shipment, and he turns to me and says, so how was loading the shipment today? And I just unloaded. After dealing with this woman for all this time, it just all came out. Because surely he's a driver. He must have put up with her. He must have known. He had to have known. This had to drove more than just me nuts. I couldn't be the only one, so I just like let it go. And so we get our deliveries done. We get back to the yard. I clean up the truck. And I get this call to go to the supervisor. So I go in there and I'm greeted, not with what a spectacular job you are and what a, you know, you're the best person that we've hired. Not any of that. I was greeted with my last check. And I'm like, why am I getting my last check? Your mouth. I'm like, oh, man. So, you know, they didn't really clarify exactly what my mouth had done. So I'm leaving the parking lot, and the driver of the truck was standing by my car. And he goes, I see you got your last check. I'm like, yeah. He goes, let me tell you something. Don't ever talk about my wife like that again. Yeah. So you know what? Be careful about what you're saying and who you're saying it about, because her husband or wife, their friend, their co, you don't know who's standing by, right? And as a pastor, you don't know who's listening, right? Christian, even more. So that was the first time I got fired. The second time I got fired from my job, I got the job through the school that I was going through, and I got hired at Honeywell. So I was electronic technician, or going to be an electronic technician, and so they hired me to do circuit board testing and all this great stuff, and I was in this one area where it kind of like a rectangle, and there was 12 people working there, and I was in this little alcove kind of by myself testing all of this stuff for them to do what their jobs were, which, you know, honestly, I don't know what their jobs were now. And so I was happy. I was like, okay, I vowed the last time that this would never happen again. I am never going to let my mouth get me in trouble again. It's never going to happen. Anybody? Anybody been a drinker and say, I'm never going to drink again, right? It's one of those kind of things. And so I started going to church, and I started reading the Bible, and I started praying. It's like, you know, I'm really going to make an effort to not have that embarrassing situation happen. And so at lunch, I would read my Bible, and I would pray with people, and I would talk to people, you know, even doing ministry work back then. I didn't even know, right? We have this door that the only thing that's supposed to come through this door in my little area is supposed to be the equipment that I'm testing. Unfortunately, this little man would come through with the carts, and he would talk and talk and talk. And he would drive me absolutely insane. Anybody in your life, that person that drives you absolutely insane, the ones that just talk and talk and talk and drive you nuts, anybody have that person? Oh, my goodness. This was that guy. And again, you know, okay, now I'm praying. I'm going to church. I'm reading. I'm trying to be a good Christian. It's like, God, give me the patience. Give me the patience. And I swear, it didn't last long. It didn't last long. And so, trying to be a good Christian, I covered it all. And so I'd be sarcastic, and I'd be critical, and I'd be cynical person. And then I would follow it up with a slap on the shoulder, and I would say, I was only what? Kidding. I was only joking. And here I was just crushing this guy. And anybody be on the receiving end of somebody saying something like that and then saying I was only joking. You know, Proverbs says this. Proverbs 26, 18 through 19. This isn't in your outlines. It says this. A man who throws flaming firebrands and death, I love it, is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. See, you can say the craziest things if you want to. You could be as cynical as you want to, as sarcastic as you want to, as crazy as you want to, and it doesn't change the effect by laughing afterwards, slapping them on the shoulder, saying, I was only kidding. It doesn't change the width of what was just said. And that is the truth about the taming of our tongues. It's actually, there is a weight behind all this. We, as humans, we have a habit of covering up our sarcasm, our criticalness, our cynicalness by slapping somebody in the face, literally slapping them in the face and saying, I was only joking, because that's exactly what it feels like to the person that's hurting it. Now, I'm reflecting on this job and this young man that's in my section, and I'm reflecting on this and how I crushed his spirit. How I crush. Now I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm telling people to the best of my ability about Jesus. And you know what they remembered of me? It's how I treated that man. What I said to him, how I reacted to him. Because I guarantee you, if I walked up there and I said, hey, it's Christmas time, would you guys want to come to my church and come to know Jesus? Everyone would say, I don't want to know the Jesus you know. Would you blame them? Would you blame them? Is your life representing the Jesus that they want, this world that they want? Is what you're saying and how you're living, is it going out there and being presented in a way that brings people into church? Or is your words and your mannerisms compelling people? We need to think about those things. So if you get out your bulletins and open up your outline, we're going to be in James 3, 1 through 12. James knows all about this stuff. And the first thing I want you to do, make sure you have a pen. You know me. I got you underlining and making little designs and stuff. But here's what I want you to do. Get out your bulletin. Look at the title, Taming Your Tongues. I want you to cross that out because that's not today's message. Today's message is, I want you to write this, the weight of my words. I'm going to give you a minute. So write the weight of my words. Okay, now everybody look at me when you're done. Y'all looking? Everybody done? Write faster. Let's write faster. Write faster. Okay, now look at me. Tap yourself on the chest. You know what I'm going to do. Tap yourself on the chest and say, my words carry weight. Say it again. My words carry weight. Okay, now you have no excuse. You can't leave today saying you don't know because now y'all admitted it, that you know now that your words carry weight. Now, there's 3 points. This isn't in your sermon. This is just information for you. If you are here today, don't know Jesus, this is a great portion right now for you to start taking notes. This is good stuff. I'm not a good preacher. I'm just saying this is good information. This is ancient stuff here. But if you're a Christian today, James is telling you, and I'm telling you, you need to listen. Right? Okay, so here's the truth about the weight of our words. So the first one is there is weight to the words you say. Okay? There is weight. It is not equally weighted. We don't say one word and it's equally weighted through the people that are hearing it because of the people that are hearing it. You don't know their background. You don't know their baggage. You don't know their burden. You don't know their hang-ups, their hurts, their habits. You don't know unless you care to know about them. If you cared to know about them, then you would watch your words. Your words carry weight, right? So you can say one word to somebody, follow it up with laughter, or say something, and that person might not take it so much. So you know. Next person, you might say the same thing, and they may be absolutely broken and crushed by what you said because you don't know their past experience. You don't know their present or current situation. All you care about is what you're saying. So the weight of your words is utterly weighted. And there's another one. It's the source of who is saying those words are not weighted the same. So if you're, for instance, and there's all sorts of statistics for this, and I was going to have stuff out there for you, but it's so much information. I wanted to give it to you as clear. So here's Dan's super simple version of the weight of the source of who says it and how it works. If you're a brother, sister, or a family friend, your words carry roughly between 100 and 150 pounds of weight to somebody hearing them, right? If you are an aunt and an uncle, you're somewhere between 150 and 200 pounds of weight. If you are a grandmother or a grandfather, you're somewhere between 200 and 250 pounds of weight by what you say. If you are a mom, you're somewhere between 250 and 350 pounds of weight. That's how much your words weigh on who is receiving them. If you are a father, your words carry the most weight, between 500 and 1,000 pounds by what you say. Now, there's a psychological deep side to this because not all of us had moms and dads. Some of us lost a mom or lost a dad. But here's the truth. Whoever the most significant figure in your life was, that's the person who's going to carry the most weight by what they say. So your words, it's important for you to understand that there is weight. There is weight to what you say. So you add this all up. You add up the words that are spoken to you, the weight of them. You add up the source of who is saying them. And then you add up you. And let me tell you this fact. It's not easy to get over. Not easy to get over. So I don't know about you, but I know about me. I've been married for 33 years now. Hopefully my wife said yes, right? We're going to go on to more marriage time. That's awesome. But for the first 20-something years, my mouth destroyed our marriage. Okay? So here's, let me just, it's hard to preach this because you got to admit you're the problem. I'm a problem. It's not that my wife didn't forgive me. It's not that my wife doesn't have a strong walk with God. It's the impact of and the effect of my words against her over the time. Does that make sense? Say amen. Listen up. Because she loves me, I hope, still. She cares about me. She has a strong walk with God. She has forgiven me. But when you take the weight of words, when you take the weight of the source of who said them, and you add them up to you, it takes a bit to get over. And James is going to tell you. He's going to tell you right as soon as we get into James, he's going to line it all up for you and tell you, you can't, but Jesus can. Right? So let's do this. Are you ready? Here's the interactive part. So I know that you're waking up. Everybody stick out your tongue. Stick out your tongue. Come on, stick them out. This is the interactive. No, really get into this. Stick out your tongue. Look to your left and go. Look to your right and go. Look at me again and go. Right? Okay, now put your tongues back in your mouth. That was awesome. Now everybody hold up your thumbs like this. Hold them up. Hold them up high. Hold them up. Both hands. Hold your thumbs up high. Now stand still. Your thumbs are an extension of your tongue. Put your thumbs down. What you type, text, blog, post, Snapchat, tweet is an extension of your tongue. Don't think for a minute that what you post, blog, text, Snapchat, tweet, whatever those social media things are, don't have a weighted impact for those who are following you or reading your stuff. Does that make it sense? Okay, that's why I'm saying this is a sermon for you to skip, if you could have skipped this one. Okay, so here's where James goes, right? James dials it in. So get out your outlines. Let's start at the very first point, and it is what you say matters. Everybody look at me. Tap yourself on the chest and say, what I say matters. One more time, what I say matters. Awesome. Now put stop. You now know that your words carry weight and that what you say matters. You can't take it back. Y'all know. You have no excuse now. You can throw this bulletin away, forget this sermon. They can delete it offline. But you now just tapped yourself on the chest in the sight of God and just admitted you know the weight of words. And you know now that what you say matters. And so James goes this, not many of you should become teachers. My brothers, and let's just stop there for a minute. We know James is talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees. We know that. Because that's when you read the commentary, read the Bible, that's what James is talking about. The Pharisees and Sadducees were these religious leaders that just compounded your problems. And they loved the limelight. So that's what they were. But let me tell you, this is the living word of God. Do you believe that? This transcends all time. It is September 8th. 2019, and let me tell you what teachers mean today. Teachers mean this. Okay, so let's start this. If you are a pastor or a leader in the church, raise your hand. Unfortunately. If you are a volunteer, if you teach anything in this building or have anything to do with it, a helper, raise your hand. You are teachers. If you are a mom and dad, raise your hand. If, grandpa, raise your hand. If you are a sibling, a brother or sister, raise your hand. If you are a friend to anyone who you've helped along the way, raise your hand. Right? If you are an aunt, an uncle, a nephew, raise your hand. So you all have raised your hand. So guess what you are? You are all teachers. In some way, shape, or form, you are teachers. Now, James clarifies who he's talking about. He says, my brothers. And I would circle that. My brothers. You are my brothers. You are my brothers and my sisters. James is talking to. So again, if you are not a Christian and you're here today, this is great stuff. Take notes. This is good stuff to take out of here. This is wonderful information that is an ancient document that was written long ago that was inspired by God. And you need to pay attention to these things. But if you are a Christian, ooh, you're in the hot seat this morning. Because James is going to clarify what you're supposed to do. He says, my brothers, for you know, I would underline that, you know. He's telling Christians you should know. You know what you ought not to do. Why are you doing it? You know the things that you're saying yes to that you should be saying no to. You know that. You know the things that you are saying no to that you should be saying yes to. You know that. You know, honestly, that the words you're saying, that what you're typing carries, you know, Christian, who's reading, who's listening. You can't seriously not know that. And that's what James is saying. He's saying, not many of you should want to become teachers, my brothers, Christians, for you know that those who teach will be judged. And I would circle that, judged more strictly. And yes, as a pastors, as leaders, we will be judged by how we lead you. Him, Gary, your lead pastor, the head of this church, the shepherd, he's going to be judged fiercely by what he says up here. That's why he loves you and he guides you and will do anything for you. I love you too. And I care about you. And what I do here is going to be judged. That's why I will not shun from the truth. I will not back down by pointing my fingers at Christians and telling you how you should live. I get it. I'm a Christian. I don't know how to behave. And my mouth gets me in trouble. And I expect that of you. But we must want not do that anymore. There has to be something pushing us forward, right? And you will be judged. And how many of you, Christians, have posted on Facebook or posted something out there and were judged fiercely? Raise your hand. By what you said. How many of you read something and then you just got all turned up inside and you just couldn't wait to post back? Now, you guys want to do that? I don't know if you wanted. I'm not asking you to do that, but okay. Yes. James is talking to you. Yes, there's judgment on all sides. And he clarifies it. He says this, for we all stumble in many ways. James is not setting himself aside saying, you all stumble. I'm not standing up here going, you're all crazy. Your tongues all get you in trouble. I'm including me. James is including himself. He says, for we all stumble. See, now, if I go back to Honeywell, that moment where that young man came into my room, if I would have known this better, like I know it now, I would have treated him differently because I know he would have had a background. See, I know now as I reflect upon him, my son is becoming a teacher and a leader in autism, and he's really good, and we talk about these things, and I think he might have had autism. I think maybe he might have had some sort of disability, and it crushes me to know how I treated him. But we all stumbled. See, I didn't know what his background was. Had I known, and I know now, if I could just go back, I would say something more encouraging. I would listen with an attentive ear. I would have been more understanding, right? See, these are the things that we don't hold against us, and we have all this regret. These are the things that we lay on the altar of God, and we ask God to alter us. Because he wants that altered future for you. You will never be held by what you've done in the past. If you give your life over to Jesus, he will change you in the future right now. You lay yourself on the altar and you ask Jesus to alter you now. Amen? And you guys are quiet. No fun. Okay, so you will be judged, and we all stumble. James is including himself, and I'm including myself in this, and I'm sure Gary would include himself into this. And I love how James do this. Now, James is a teacher in the church. You probably all heard that from Pastor Daryl. He probably set all up for you last week. We know James's background. He's a teacher in the church. He wasn't a contractor. He wasn't a builder like Joseph. But you look at this first verse, and it has all the correct pieces to a good building. Now, if I'm going to build a building, what do I need? A firm what? Firm foundation. And James does this. Here's the foundation. He says this at the end. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. Able also to bridle, and I would underline this, bridle his whole body. Who is James talking about? What? Say that again. Say it louder. He is talking about Jesus. It's the only perfect man that ever lived. This is James's brother, Jesus. So he laid the perfect foundation. He says, listen, you can't do this without Jesus. There's only one perfect man. Everything he said, everything he did was perfect. Not stumble. He did not stumble. That's Jesus. He laid that firm foundation because why? Because we all stumble in many ways. And what do we need? We need Jesus. If we all stumble in many ways was framing, like these walls framing, there's all sorts of intersection and bisection of the way these walls meet. That's the people in life. See, James probably didn't even realize he did this until right now in 2019, and I break down this scripture, and it is sound building practices. There is Jesus. And we all stumble in many ways. We're all different. We all suffer. We all this. And here is Jesus who carries us along the way. He doesn't lord over you and make you regret things and have you have a rough life. Jesus removes your chains, releases the captivity, and sets you free from the things in the past. But only if you allow him to do the good work in you in the present. Amen? Amen. So there's James. He's finishing that up. And so I put this for Psalms. Psalms 141:3 says this. And I put this in here because I want you guys to clip this out. Cut this out. Put it on your nightstand. Put it on your computer screen. Put it on your dash of your car. Put it everywhere where you look throughout the day, because this is a prayer for you. And that's what I wanted, is I wanted a prayer for you because we need it. Like this. Psalm says this, Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me to be careful about what I say. So you roll out of bed. How many times do you in the morning pray for you? Raise your hand. Serious problem. Serious problem. Let me just tell you right now, all of you need to start your mornings out praying for you. Yes, there's so many prayers and there's so many petitions. Every one of you have to get to the point when I say, or Gary says, or somebody asks you, do you pray in the morning for you? You're going to say, yes, yes, because I need the armor. I need the protection. I need this thing. Lord, Lord, please help me control my tongue. Help me to be careful with what I say. You can pray that in the morning. You can pray that throughout the day. And then at the end, when you come tight, there's only two prayers you can pray. Lord, thank you for helping me. Or Lord, forgive me. I need your help tomorrow. Amen? So cut that out. Place that somewhere. If you have a problem driving, it's a good thing to have that in your car. Lord, help me with my tongue. I'm not pointing Gary out. Pointing my wife out. No, I'm not pointing my wife out. She's a great driver. My tongue gave me trouble when I'm preaching. Better keep going. Let's keep going. So you know the weight of your words. You know that what you say matters. And you have a prayer now that can help you in the morning and throughout your day, and what you can pray at the end of your day. So point two is this. You need to think before you speak, because there's power in your words. You need to think before you speak because there's power in your words. Everybody look at me. Tap yourself on the chest. Here we go again. It's an e-ticket to Disneyland. Everybody tap yourself and say, there's power in my words. Say it again, there's power in my words. Look to your left and tell them there's power in my words. Look to your right and tell them there's power in my words. Put your hands down, listen. Now you all admitted it, there's weight to your words. What you say matters, and that there's power. There is power in what you say. It is imperative. James is telling you, it is imperative that you hear this. James had a problem with his mouth too. Just like that. Or he wouldn't have included himself by saying we. Correct? All right. So James goes on to say this. For if you put bits into the mouth of horses so that obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. What a great statement. He's talking. Any Clydesdale? Anybody see the size of a Clydesdale horse? These things are massive. And they put these little teeny bits inside their mouth. And the rider pulls one way and the horse goes one way, pulls another way and the horse goes this way, pulls back and the horse stops. What makes a horse go? Anybody can tell me? Whatever. Okay, so that doesn't work. Anyways, when the horse goes, it's really important that you have control of this horse. If you've been on a Clydesdale, I've never been on a Clydesdale. They're like spiders to me. I would stay away from horses. They're scary. But if you get on a horse, you want to have some control or it's going to take off and go wherever. Right? It's going to go where? James goes on. I love it. He sets it all up. He says, he's talking about control. As Christians, we need to have some sort of control. And so he says this, look at the ships also. Though they are so large, they are driven by strong winds. And I would circle that, driven by strong winds. And they are guided by a very small rudder. I got this picture up there. Hopefully it's there. It's the shipper. It is the picture of the German battleship Bismarck. Okay, so the history of this ship is, and again, I try to do the best research I can. Some of the stuff I'm going to tell you, I don't know if it's actually accurate. They have stories. Couldn't really tell. You can do some research and find out for yourself if it is. But there's a story that one shell from this ship sunk a British destroyer. One shell. Again, don't know if it's actually true. Do some research. It might actually be true. This ship was fierce. In one of the battles, it was being chased by the British fleet, and a torpedo bomber, that's an airplane that has a torpedo on the bottom of it, dropped a torpedo right at the back of the ship, and it took out its rudder. Once this battleship lost control, it went wherever it wanted to go. And as soon as it lost control, within the matter of hours, it was scuttled and sunk with a massive casualty. See, James is setting it up, man. If you lose control, Christian, of your mouth, of your tongue, of your thumb, then you're going to go wherever you want to go. Wherever the flow of culture will take you, you are just going to go wherever it drives you. That's what James is saying here. And so let's get a little political. Gary doesn't like to get political up here. He tells me, don't get political. But I'm going to get political. Because it's crazy politically right now, right? Amen? It drives you insane. So if you're here today and you're a Democrat or a Republican, okay. If you are here today and you hate Trump or love Trump, that's your opinion. And you need to have your opinion. You can be a Democrat. You can be a Republican. You can love Trump. You can hate Trump. That is totally fine. That's your opinion. But if you are a Christian and you get crazy by what you read on Facebook, by what's going on politically, to where you start posting stuff or getting in fights about it or dividing people from it, James is telling you, watch it. Be warned. Because the observing world is reading you. It is watching you. Be careful by what you say. Don't lose control. It's already ignited politically. It's already crazy out there. We as Christians can't add to it. Now let me tell you, it's not as easy as I'm preaching it to be. Okay? It is crazy out there. The stuff that we're faced with, you really want to. You got to stand up for Jesus. You got to pray and ask God to guide you throughout this stuff. You need him as that foundation in your life if we're going to get through this politically. Because God's got this. Eventually, he's going to win. You don't have to ever worry about it. So don't allow that political stuff to drive you crazy. Just give those things back to God. In fact, anything that you post, anything that you text, anything that you blog about, any little meme that you want to share out there, you should really pray about that. Give that some time and ask God, is this the right thing for me to do? Maybe try that for a little bit and see if you post what you want to post, share what you want to share. Maybe things will change then. So James says this, when he's talking about the bits in the mouth of horses, and he's talking about the rudders and ships, and he's talking about things like this Bismarck battleship, he's asking Christians, really simply, who's holding the reins in your life? Is it you? Is it the political nature? Is it regret? Is it unforgiveness? Is it anger? Is it hatred? Who's holding the reins in your life? Who is steering your ship? Because if you lose control, you will not know the consequences of what you're about to do until you have lost control. Right? So here's a picture of a forest fire. Because James goes on to say this. This is, I can't remember the name of this fire. It was started by a PG&E spark on one of their power lines. And it ended with a massive, there's casualties, loss of life. There was loss of life. Huh? Okay, Paradise Fire. There's buildings gone. People, you know, disheveled. Just all this stuff that's happening. And then the picture below it is what the aftermath looks like. And James says this. So also is the tongue as a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great is the forest fire that is set ablaze in such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. So he's like this. He goes, if you lose control of your mouth, if you lose control, Christian, of your thumbs, if you absolutely lose control, you will not know the devastating effect of the fire that you start until you deal with the consequences of the outcome. That's a hard pill to swallow. But if we don't understand that as Christians, there is power to the weight of our word. There is power to the weight of our word. Like again today, right now, if you don't know Jesus, this is great. This is good information to take back out there. But if you know Jesus, really, 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 got to give this back over to God and watch what your tongue says. He says, the tongue is set among the members, staining the whole body and setting on fire the entire course of life, and to set on fire by hell. As Christians, it says here, we have the words to speak life, or we have the words to speak death. Jesus, here's this is the truth. Look to Jesus. Crucify him, crucify him. We want Barabbas. Did we not? And Jesus utters these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The words of death, crucify Jesus, crucify Jesus. And Jesus says, forgive them. There is power. There is power in what you say. We need to think about what and how we say it. Again, if I could go back to that young man in Honeywell, I spoke destruction in his life. I was just somebody else to add some other pressure to him, claiming to be a Christian. Proverbs 18:21 says this, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. The power is totally inside of you. You either keep God outside of life, or you draw near to God and have him inside your life. Here's the truth. The tongue is not your problem. The thumbs are not your problem. You could cut out your tongue and cut off your thumbs, and you could still be that sarcastic, critical, cynical Christian because you have a heart problem. That's what James is saying to Christians, to brothers and sisters. He's saying, listen, it's not just your tongue. It's not your thumb. It's your heart. So I ask you, I implore you, I ask you today, how is your heart? How is your heart? Proverbs 4:23 says this. It's not on your screen. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the wellspring of life, and everything flows from it. Everything that comes out of your thumbs, everything that comes out of your mouth, product of what's going on inside your heart. The reason why I brought up this political upheaval, this political division, is because you watch enough television, it'll drive you insane. You read enough stuff that's going on Facebook and do the wrong thing, go the wrong way. You're going to be driven by whatever the culture, whatever that wind is driving you. I mean, it's as simple as this. Really, turn off the TV. Maybe for a time, delete social media. And how about this? How about this? I know this is weird. Ready? Hold on. Maybe tune into God. Maybe start reading the Bible. Start praying for yourself in the morning, since you all admitted you don't pray for yourself. Maybe try praying for yourself. Depression. Suicidal type depression. My depression drives me absolutely insane. I have to fight against it. If I didn't pray for me every morning, I wouldn't be here. I guarantee you, if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be here. My wife loves me. She prays for me every day, and that is not enough to stop me from doing bad things to me. Same thing with you. You need something more powerful in you. And so the third point is this: let Jesus Christ have control of your heart. If you give Jesus Christ control of your heart, he will help you with your depression. He'll help you with your anxiety. He will help you with your suicidal thoughts. He will help you with your tongue, with your thumbs, with your posts, with your blogs, with your Snapchat, tweet, text message, all that stuff. He will help you with all those things. Give him a chance. Is God, is Jesus really in control of your heart? Think about that for a minute. Is he really? Have you relinquished the control and the power of what is spoken over you and what his people has said to you? Have you really given that back to Jesus? There is this invisible thing. When you put the bit in the mouth of the horse, it disappears. The only thing you see is these little leather straps. It's invisible. The rudder is below the waterline. You don't even know what's controlling that ship. We know it's a rudder. You don't see it. The Holy Spirit has tons of power. You don't see him. You feel him. Have you given yourself, and you've given that back over to the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives you freely to help you with your thumbs, to help you with your mouth, with your tongue, to help you with your life, so you can be the Christian God wants you to be? There is an observing world. Time is short. It is short, and it's valuable. Your time is short. It is valuable. Don't waste any more time on these frivolous battles, this regret, these grudges, this unforgiveness. Don't buy into Satan's tactic here. Don't do it. Let Jesus Christ have control of your heart. It will come out of your mouth. It'll come out of your thumb. It'll seep out, ebb out of your life in every part of it. Amen? Wake up, man. This is good stuff. And so James says this: for a man's heart determines, this is Matthew 12, by the way. Actually, I apologize. I messed up here. So it's going to be Matthew 12, and then we're going to go back to James. Matthew 12 says this: for a man's heart determines his speech. A good man's speech reveals the richness from within him. The evil-hearted man is filled with venom, and his speech reveals it. There is good and there is bad within us all. But the one who can control it is the one who gives authority over it. Amen? Amen. For a man's heart determines his speech. I would circle that, and I would underline that, and I would put frillies all over that. Highlight that. Memorize that. For a man's heart determines. And James goes on to say this: for every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. That's amazing. The mere fact that humanity can grab some wild beast and tame it is impressive. The bigger the animal, the longer it takes, of course, but you can tame it. James says it. But underline this part right here: but no human being, I would circle human being, can tame the tongue. Going back to the first verse and the foundation that James laid, he says, listen, there is only one perfect man, and it's Jesus. You want to tame your tongue, you give authority to your heart over to Jesus Christ. And I just admitted, I'm a Christian, and I fail at this. And it doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is an authority in my heart. It's just that I need to give him the authority every day and throughout the day. You want to tame your tongues and your thumbs? You need help through this? Throughout the day, give Jesus Christ the control of your heart. He says that the tongue is, it's relentless evil. It's full of deadly poison. With it, we will bless our Lord and Father, and we will curse the people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessings and curses. I was this Christian in Honeywells. I was reading in the cafeteria. I was praying with people. I was going to church. I was, out of one side, I was speaking the goodness of God. And then when that young man came into my room, I cursed him and crushed him by my words or by what I said. And how many times as Christians have we done that? That's James's. And he says, my brothers, that's Christian. That's how he knows he's talking to us. My brothers, these things ought not be so with you. As much as it depends upon you, Christian, live at peace with everyone. And I ask you, you don't have to raise your hand. Are you living at peace? Or are you just that sarcastic, critical, cynical Christian that slaps people on the shoulder and says, I was only joking. I was just messing around. You'll get over it. Pick up your bootstraps. Put your big girl pants on. Is that the Christians we are? Is that the Christians you are? If James was here, this is what he'd be asking you right now today. I told you this was going to be a hot seat. You're going to miss this one. It's a good one. So James goes on to say, does the spring pour forth the same openings, both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, Christian, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can salt on yield fresh water. I live on an ag land, and I got a well. And I went out to my well, and I tried to get Coke out of the tap. And you know what happened? I got water. Nasty water. I went back the next day, and I opened up the tap, and I said, I want Coke. And nothing came out. It wasn't Coke. How disappointing is that? I love how James finishes this up. You can take a fig tree and you can prune it to make it look like an olive tree, and it's not going to bear olives. You can take a fig tree, you could prune it like an olive tree, and plant it in an olive garden thing with a bunch of olive trees, and it's not going to bear olives. You could take a fig tree, prune it like an olive tree, and put it on Mount Olive. It's not going to bear olives. Going to bear fruit. And the same true with us, with you, Christian, with me. When we get outside those doors, does our actions, does our words match what we do here? Do we lose the perspective? Do we lose the mission when we walk out those doors, when we're faced with political stuff, when we're faced with relational stuff, financial stuff, physical problems, mental issues, spiritual brokenness? As soon as you walk out that door and Satan hits you with a ton of bricks, do you lose the mission, Christian? James says, don't lose the mission. Lose the mission. Don't be a fig tree out there and trying to be an olive tree. Don't do that. Give control of your heart over to Jesus, and he will lead you on the path to heal. Proverbs 21:23 says this, and this is how we'll end it. Watch your words and hold your tongue, because you'll save yourself a lot of grief. I would circle that here. Let me leave you with this question. Save yourself a lot of grief. If you don't know Jesus today, right now, this minute, do not leave this building until you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Your time is valuable. Your time is short. Don't waste another opportunity. Every time you come here, he's knocking on the door of your heart. Do not leave today until you know Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you know Jesus. Right now is a good time to take your life back. Get back into that mission field. Give him the control of your heart like it should have. Watch what you say. Watch what your tongue, your thumbs do. Give that back over to God, Christian. And then we will impact. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this message. James is such a powerful figure. This is an ancient document, and we know that. And he was inspired by God to write this, but he lived this out, Lord. And thank you for James' words. If you're here today, Christian, and you've got something you need to surrender over, if you want to surrender your control of something back over to God, raise your hand. Raise your hand if there's something that's inside of you, something burdening you, something that you need Jesus to take control of. Raise your hand. Father God, you see each one of these who have raised their hand right now. control issues. Lord, and they're crying out right now. And what a wonderful place to cry out is inside your church. Lord, I pray for them. For your Holy Spirit to descend upon them and grab them right where they are and empower them to do the things and to say the things and go the miles in places that you ask them to go. Guard and guide them, Lord. Father God, I thank you so much for this beautiful day it is. I thank you so much for these that are here. Lord, and I just give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you're going to do. In all authority, in your name, Jesus. Amen. So thank you guys for coming. So this is the invitation. So you raised your hand, that's awesome. This is the time for you to come and let me personally pray with you. Again, if you've got control issues, you've got something you need to pray with, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, right now is the time to do it. Don't waste any time. It's valuable and it's short and you don't know your last breath. And don't do this out of fear. Do this because Jesus is the way to go. It's the foundation that you need to get you through this life. There's no other place. If you don't know Jesus, don't leave this place without knowing Jesus. I want to pray with you. And if you do know Jesus, I want to pray with you too. If you need help, if you need more, if you need someone to walk with you, let me know. Let me pray with you. Our church wants to guide you and help you through this process. We want to be that come alongside and nurture and encourage you. We want to be that place. Let us do that. You come forward as they sing. Beautiful. You come forward and let me pray. Let's sing.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, Savior, has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has has ransomed me like a flood. His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be
much. You guys need to be seated. Hey, listen, don't leave this place. You get out your bulletins.